Well, today we're going to continue with Lesson 15 in the Book of Galatians. Today we're in Chapter 4, and I've titled this lesson, Slave versus Free, Flesh versus Promise. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Galatians Chapter 4, starting in verse 21. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman and one by a free woman. But the son of the slave was born according to the flesh, while the son of the free woman was born according to the promise. Now this may be interpreted allegorically. These women were two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai, bearing children for slavery. She is Hagar. Now Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, Rejoice, O barren one who does not bear. Break forth and cry aloud, you who are not in labor. For the children of the desolate one will be more than those of the one who has a husband. Now you, brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. But just as at that time he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the spirit, so also it is now. But what does the scripture say? Cast out the slave woman and her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. So, brothers, we are not children of the slave, but of the free woman. Okay, we talked about this back in Lesson 10, but just to do a quick recap here, remember, God made the promise to Abraham and Sarah that he would make their offspring as numerous as the sand on the sea or the stars in the sky. At this point, it was obvious to Abraham and Sarah that Sarah wasn't going to have children. She hadn't had any to that point, and the chances grew less of her having one every day that passed. So in order for this promise to be fulfilled, God would be the one to do it. But after waiting, they got impatient. Sarah devises a plan for Abraham to be with her handmaiden, Hagar. Her plan succeeds too well, and Hagar conceives, and then Hagar is cruel and taunts her mistress. God takes care of Hagar and gives a blessing and a curse for Hagar's son, and then, after that, that is when the circumcision covenant comes. So Abraham and Sarah, in their flesh, sinned and tried to create a descendant for themselves through a third party. God told Abraham to cut off his flesh so it would be known that God was his God, and be a marker that he was set apart and all of the men in his household would be set apart. And then God, through Abraham and Sarah's worn-out bodies, created life. In the flesh they created a child, yes, but God told Abraham, I don't need your flesh to do this. Cut off this foreskin and all will know that you are mine. Isaac was the son God promised Abraham. He told Abraham he would give him a son through Sarah, whose descendant would reign forever, and Christ is that descendant. Ishmael was not. Ishmael was born through the contriving and planning of Sarah and the acquiescence of Abraham. He was not born of the promise. The Bible clearly tells us that Ishmael was destined to be a servant and at enmity with all the other nations. That's in Genesis chapter 16, verses 9 through 12. So there's no way that Ishmael's descendants could be the promised ones of God. Ishmael was born in the normal way with a woman of childbearing years. Isaac was a miracle. They didn't have fertility drugs in that day and age. Isaac was born to a woman in her 90s. He was given as a promise given to Sarai, redeemed with grace to be Sarah. Paul is using the situation with Abraham, Sarah, Hagar, Ishmael, and Isaac as an example to illustrate the point he's trying to make here. Hagar represents the law. Ishmael shows us what happens when we take things into our own hands and try to fulfill the promise God gives us without waiting for God. Ishmael and his descendants have, if you ask me, a decidedly bleak future. Hagar was a slave, a bondwoman. Thus, Paul is drawing the parallel that the Jews are in slavery to the law, just as Hagar was a slave. Sarah, on the other hand, represents freedom. More than that, she represents grace freely and extravagantly given. Her child was conceived because God had a hand in it, not because of anything she could do to change her body into that of a young woman. She was given grace freely, and she lived in that freedom. In the same way, we who have been given the gift of eternal life by God, We're given that by grace through faith in him. Hagar, Paul tells us, was the current physical Jerusalem, full of Jews who had not been obedient and had not turned to Christ. They had no eternal citizenship. The eternal Jerusalem, however, is free, and all those who belong to Christ are citizens of that city, being only travelers here in this world. And the persecution that Sarah experienced at the hand of Hagar continues today. Just as Ishmael mocked Isaac in Genesis 21, so Ishmael's descendants in the Arabs continue to persecute the Jews, the descendants of Isaac. And so too do we as believers receive persecution from unbelievers. Thus, children born in the natural way were the Jews and the Judaizers who relied on themselves and their ability to keep the law to save themselves. Children born of God's promise were pretty much everybody else, all of the Gentiles, all of those brought in not through the law but through grace and faith in him. And Paul makes no apologies for his vehemence and desire to get rid of the Judaizers. He tells the Galatian church very sternly to cast these corruptors out. The Judaizers continue to persecute Gentile Christians, much as Hagar continued to torment Sarah after she was pregnant with Ishmael, showing that they had not received or understood the true gospel of Christ. Really, when it comes down to it, Paul was saying, "Do you truly understand all of the implications of what you're asking for as you want to be back under the law? All who seek to be justified by their own efforts will, as Hagar was, be cast out, because it is simply impossible to be justified by your own efforts. It is only through Christ's sacrifice that we are justified or declared righteous before God. Not of our works, so that none may boast. It's not about how special that we are to be chosen." I guess I have a simple question today. Do you live as though you are a child of a slave or a free child of the King? Are you living free, not under the bondage of the law or of sin, knowing you've been forgiven? Have you asked for that forgiveness? Do you see those who try to cause you harm and feel compassionate toward them because of your confidence, not in yourself, but in Christ? Do you see how unworthy you are of the amazing riches that have been given to you, and therefore you treat others as welcome to join in those riches too? Do you realize that truly there before the grace of God go I, and so you are willing to extend that grace to others? Or do you think that you must contribute to your salvation? Are you comparing yourself with other believers, holding yourself and others up to a standard that may only exist in your mind? Or are you letting other people place their list on your shoulders? Ladies, do you know your Bible well enough to know what are salvation issues and what are not? Do you have the discernment and the grace to be able to agree to disagree over the non-salvation issues? Remember, the Judaizers added one thing to Christ, and Paul spends this entire letter condemning their teaching of a false gospel and warning the believers in Galatia to return to the truth and hold fast to it. We must be careful to know what the salvation issues are and to hold fast to those, while recognizing what the less urgent issues are and having grace with our brothers and sisters in those areas. Ladies, you can find the notes for this study under the Bible Studies tab on the website naomistable.com, day 15, Slave versus Free, Flesh versus Promise.